Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. It's time for our weekly visit with Dave McGinnis, Titans radio analyst. Zone Titans analyst Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Dave McGinnis with us. Coach Mack, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great being in here with you guys. I just broke something here, but it's not my fault. Go ahead.
I saw that. I saw it happen. I'm a witness.
I broke something.
Before we get into the Titans, we were talking about college football. Tennessee and West Virginia, what do you think Tennessee needs to do in that matchup?
They need to run that ball until West Virginia has got no more blood left in their head. I mean, they need to run it. And I think they will. I mean, I just got talking with Doug Matthews about this, and the thing that is so important, JT just fixed what I broke. You know, that's a professional. He could see it all the way through the window that I broke it, but at least I was honest and said I broke it.
Yes, yeah, you did.
That's true.
You could have easily blamed that on Mark Howard.
And I wouldn't do it. I'll take full credit for it because I've messed stuff up before in my life.
So West Virginia runs a 3-3-5
defense. They run 3-3-5.
Because they play in the Big 12 against pass happy.
Yeah, and nobody plays defense in the Big 12.
You got to eat clock if you're Tennessee, right?
Well, yes, you do.
Keep the ball out of Will Grier's hands.
Eat clock and keep it out of Will Grier's hand because he is legit. And, you know, keep it out of his hands. But I just, you know, and I know Jeremy Pruitt wants to establish a physical mentality, and this is a perfect game to do it in. This is a great game to do it in on a good stage. And I'm very excited about seeing it. And I want Tennessee to be so successful. And I know what they want to do. I think I know what they want to do. I haven't talked to anybody that would tell me what they want to do, but I'm just looking at it. They want to run the football on them, and they want to, as you said, Don, limit possessions, and then they're going to complete. West Virginia is going to complete a lot of passes, but when you're playing somebody that's spread out, that's spinning it that much, then you've got to be great spot tacklers. By spot tacklers, I mean as soon as they catch it, they got to go down, and then that's going to be big too. I can't wait for the game.
Yeah, just so important against a team like that. Just keep people in front of you. Don't let them make a big play. Just keep your guy in front of you.
You know, and I've watched, you know, I watched Grier. I've watched him throw, and I've watched, you know, a lot of the stuff he does, and he's a really smooth, flow, flexible thrower, really good. But if there was one flaw in his throwing system that I could see, and again, I'm no guru, but I've watched a few quarterbacks in my day.
Is the fact
that his deep ball is a little flat. Okay, and his deep ball's a little flat. Now, they don't throw a lot of deep balls there, but if you can get him to the point as to where they may start having to stretch the field and do some of that stuff, anytime a thrower throws a flat ball, it's a lot easier to break on, especially if you're directional delivering key. How deep we want to get in this, guys. If you're directional, if you're directional delivery key back there is safeties, a flat thrower, those are good interception angles. You know, because the hardest ball to defend is that ball that's got a nice arc on it, and then you have to track it like a center fielder, you know, running backwards just like, but a receiver is running forwards. It's easier to track an arc ball by a receiver than it is a defender. Does that make sense?
It does. Yes.
A flat ball as a safety breaking out of the post or off the hashes, you can go get those.
It's interesting to me, Coach, when you have a fast-paced passing offense, what do you do to get that quarterback out of timing? It's so hard to get a guy back there in his face or to put some pressure on that guy. And so many college teams run that just out, 1-2-3, out. How do you get pressure? How do you make that guy uncomfortable?
It's not about sacks. It's not about sacks when somebody's doing this. It's making off-schedule throws. And to make off-schedule throws, the first thing you have to do to disrupt the timing is you got to disrupt the timing on the receivers. Okay, because these are all timing throws. And so if you can get off schedule throws, and again, you know, this type of offense has permeated the National Football League also. And so in defending that, the thing that we used to do as far as defensive coaches defending that, we would tell our players, if you're not sacking the quarterback, then you're a pass defender. Get your hands up. Teach them how to get your hands up, get your hands, you know, in the way, make them throw through the picket fence. In other words, don't just, you know, don't give them a clear shot over your head, especially if you know it's coming out in less than a second and a half.
Right.
Get your hands up. And then that's where the spot tackling comes in too. That's so important because they're going to complete a lot of passes. That's just what this offense is. But you can't let them run after catch. And then you can't just let them have unobstructed, clear platform throws.
Dave McGinnis breaking down the West Virginia's offense, Tennessee's potential game plan defensively. Do you have any thoughts on Middle and Vanderbilt? We were talking about that game and how much we're looking forward to Brent Stockstill and Kyle Shurmur going at it.
I want to go to that game.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, it's right up here, and Coach Mack might be at that game because I'd like to go. I want to go watch that game. That's an intriguing matchup for me. I think it's a great matchup. For this area, I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I want to go see it. You know, I want to go see that because that's going to be very, very interesting to me. And I mean, it's clearly a big game for both of them because mm-hmm. you know, neither one of them probably are looking forward to being 0-1. And so, it's an important game. I may be at that game.
Well, and for Vandy to have a chance at a bowl game, you have to win your non-conference games, and it all starts on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. That's 100% right. I mean, there's different ramifications on both teams
right.
as far as win-loss, but still the importance of the win-loss to both teams, you know, depending on which school you're at, is still very big.
Coach Mack, they've got to get to 53 from 90 on Saturday. Do you feel like I have no idea. Do you think they have kind of a working?
You've got an idea.
Kind of working knowledge on who's going to make it.
Yes, they do, but it's not completely settled.
Right.
I mean, you've got an idea. You've been up there and go through it. You've done this a long time, and you can kind of start to put the, you know, draw your circle around guys you know, but it's not completely done yet. And I think that maybe, you know, the final 53, some of those guys might not even be on campus right now.
Right.
Because, you know, there's going to be over, 1,100 people released when this release goes on. And
wow.
the way John Robinson, you know, churns this league and churns what's going on, just like what he just did, you know, with the pickup, the trade that he made, I guarantee it. I mean, the Titans I know do it because they're cutting edge with what they do up there. And I know 31 other personnel departments, they're grinding on these guys right now because there might be one or two spots that they're not on campus right now.
A couple of guys I've been impressed with the last couple of games are Kenneth Durden, a defensive back.
Hey,
and,
let me just
and
stop
Spillane at
stop
linebacker.
Right there. Okay. I shouldn't have stopped you. It's my bad. Durden and look, I love it when guys like that get a chance because all the years that I did this as a coach, you know, when I would always talk to the incoming guys and tell, I mean, doesn't really matter how you get in this building. You are inside the building now. Now you get a chance to do something with it. Some of you might get more chances than others, but it really, when you get your chance, do something with it. Both of those guys with their chances have done something with it. And so that, I mean, when you look at that and you're starting in your personnel meetings, and believe me, you have personnel meetings at least once every 2 days, maybe once every day, you know, to say, how's he doing? How'd he pick up this last installation we had? How'd he do in the walkthrough? How'd he do when we put it in? How'd he do when we, but when you, those two guys, what they've done when they've gotten their chance in a ball game, I don't care who they're playing against. They're playing a ball game and they're having to access all their information and perform. I'm impressed with both of them. I really am. And, you know, as I said, all the years that I did this, I mean, it's easy to cheer for the first rounders, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you really, really cheer for guys like this.
You mentioned the trade the Titans made. You look at a guy like, is it Correa?
That's good.
Correa, yeah.
Correa,
yeah.
Correa. You look at a guy
like Correa.
Right. You look at a guy like that, a second round pick, but hasn't had, I guess, even the maybe opportunity to step in because of what Baltimore had. But what do you see from his game? Like, obviously, John Robinson saw something that possibly he could help the Titans with. But from that standpoint, is it a maybe he just didn't have the opportunity. There's some really good guys in front of him kind of thing. Or you look at a guy like that who has a second round pick. It almost seems like a Dodd, you know, kind of fix here.
Yeah, but I think it's different. I think it's different because he hasn't. I watched him. I went back and watched some games.
Right.
You know, as soon as they did it. Now, Dean Pease, I mean, Dean Pease is the guy.
And he knows him well, obviously.
No, completely. I mean, he's the guy on this, and he would be the guy that is so far ahead of the curve as far as being able to say he knows the system, he's picked up the system this fast, here's what he can do. And Don, what you're saying is 100% right. There are good people up there in Baltimore at those positions. But the games that I watched, I remember him coming out. I remember him coming out of Boise State, and I remember him at the Combine. He was a rush guy, okay? He was a rush guy. And they've used him both on the right and the left side rushing, both from a two-point and a three-point stance, okay? He's not a complete flexible Gumby bender, you know, right, like Landry is. But at the same time, he's got a good decent initial power rush to him, and he's got a little bit of slip and slide to him. And here's what I really like about the player, and I watched him, you know, I watched two games on him just to see. He plays off the line of scrimmage also, and when they had him off the line of scrimmage, he's got good zone awareness. He's got pretty good directional delivery key ability, you know, when he's playing zone coverage. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I like that is important to me is that when you watched him in college, he was a see ball, get ball guy. Mm-hmm. In other words, he didn't stop. And then when you see him on a rush, you watch him on a rush. If he's coming around the offense's left edge and the ball's already gone, he's still on the track to run and chase it down. You know, he's not a stand and watch it guy. I mean, he's a guy that goes. And so to me,
which fits right in with Vrabel and what they
absolutely want. Don. And the other thing that's important that fits too, and John Robinson is so cutting edge and so spot on with his stuff, is that, you know, you find a guy like this, you know, you trade a sixth rounder, you know, next year, which is okay, but you still have a guy on his rookie contract.
Right.
And he's a contributor. I mean, all of those things add up. I like the move. I really do. And plus, I like the move because I know this. When I was a head coach, I would love to have had John Robinson as my GM, because I knew as much as I was down in there grinding with the players and with my staff and I'm out on the field, there's somebody else that's grinding on the personnel that's constantly trying to churn and make my roster better.
Every Wednesday from 3:30 until 4, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans go through it. They've got you covered.
Coach, I know there was a lot of consternation among Titans fans about what they saw with Marcus in the last preseason game. Curious to get your thoughts on that. And also a real question, because I know you have a theory on this after watching the Rams from last year. What's a fair amount of time to give him to fully function in this offense with a full understanding of what's going on?
Well, I mean, I can't give you a definite time because everybody's different.
Right.
But I know that from what I've watched in practice, you know, from what, you know, during training camp, it's they've made a progression. You're not seeing hardly any of this offense out there. Now, you're talking about the game. I mean, they obviously didn't like, you know, I'm talking about the Titans. They wanted to run the football.
Right.
They could not run the football. They had a couple of play action things open that if you hit them, I know ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. you hit them, okay,
right,
then it's a little bit different story. But at the same time, I mean, you haven't seen this offense yet. I've seen the offense in practice, right, and I've seen where he is. And plus, he hasn't had all his pieces out there.
Right.
And I'm going to say one more thing about the Pittsburgh game, then I'm done with Pittsburgh. Is that
moving on.
On to Minnesota.
On to Minnesota. Is the fact that every preseason game you play, there's different agendas.
Right.
Pittsburgh had not been at home. They had 51 hung on them by Green Bay the week before. That doesn't go real well, whether it's regular season, preseason, whatever. Keith Butler, new defensive coordinator, fairly new. And until one of his defenses wins a Super Bowl, he's always going to be in Dick LeBeau's shadow. Okay. And he, you know, he just, so they were working on every four from a side blitz they had, four from a side, cross dogs up the middle. And really, because they didn't care what down and distance they were doing them on, and they could have cared less about the run game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They were just flogging it, not reacting to any type of play action. That's why that one route was so wide open that he and Davis, you know, misfired on. It was wide open. I mean, they blew the coverage completely on that. I mean, they did.
Right.
I mean, but they didn't connect. And so once, you know, so they won. Okay, good for them. But to me, this offense will run through the quarterback. This quarterback is there. I've watched him. I know how diligent he is. When all the pieces are out there, it will look different. I've told you guys this before, I think on air, but I know I've told you just when we've been talking. I went back and watched every snap that the Rams ran last year. I didn't watch their preseason. Right. I watched the regular season just to watch how long it took. And it was a progression that took them a while too. You know, but, and every week's going to present its own different obstacles, because as when you're trying to still get it in sync, people that you're playing, they're trying to get you out of sync too. So anyway, I can't give you a time frame on it, but I do know this. I've seen progress daily, and I've been to every practice for every minute.
How much, when we talk about this progression, where's the struggle with Rishard Matthews just jumping into it?
Here's the thing, and I know Rishard Matthews has been to every meeting. I mean, he's been fully engaged. Right. The other good
just
thing about it is
He's
not physically doing it. But the other good thing about Rishard Matthews, he and Marcus have played together before.
Right.
Okay, and so you're bringing in a player. There's a difference between somebody that doesn't have much experience, like Taywan Taylor and Corey Davis. They didn't have much experience to begin with. Matthews, you're talking about a veteran football player that's caught a lot of footballs in the air, okay? And so it's getting his timing down in this system back with him, but that's not as hard with a guy that you've already worked with.
Even though it's a completely different offense.
Well, and it's a completely different offense, but at the same time, some of the routes will be similar
right.
that they've thrown before. That would be my perception of that.
Okay.
As a coach, knowing the preseason's about to get wrapped up, as you look at the roster, you look at everything you've seen, what's your biggest concern?
Well, I think my concern is that they've had a daisy chain of injuries at two positions.
Right.
You know, safety and linebacker. Okay. That's my concern. That's always been my concern, because no matter how much depth you think you have when it all starts and everybody's feeling the best they're going to feel for the next 7 months, you never have enough depth. And then it starts going down the line in the same position, that's when I start, you know, when I was a coach, when I would start to get concerned. Because now, first of all, I mean, I thought they were very fortunate to be able to have Vakol still out there.
Right.
I mean, that was a good get, right, you know, to bring in, you know. At the same time, when you keep losing people, you reach a tipping point as to where the people you're playing with are clearly not like the people that you've lost one and two and three down. That's my concern, because you've had two positions where you've lost some people.
Do you know what I did after the Pittsburgh game? I went to delete it off my DVR because I watched it the next morning, and I noticed that I still had the Tampa Bay game in. So you know what I did? I turned on the Tampa Bay game, and I went back to that play with Deion on that option route, Lewis on the linebacker, and I watched it like 18 times.
On Levante David?
Yes.
Yes.
We've already talked about it, but I mean, again.
That's what made me feel better after the Pittsburgh.
Well, no, I mean.
Deion Lewis.
Levante David was really close to snapping both groins off the bone. Because.
And he's a heck of a player.
Yeah. No, he's one of the best cover linebackers in the league. We're not talking about somebody they just picked up at 7-Eleven to throw in there in a helmet. I mean, one of the best in the league, and that's what was so impressive to me about it, was not only the execution of what he did, but who he did it to. And as I said, the coverage to start out with, you could not have textbooked it any better. It's just hard to textbook somebody yanking so much juju on you can't believe it that quick.
So you and Mike Keith have the broadcast right here on 104.5 The Zone Titans Radio tomorrow night. What are you looking for? I mean, there's some guys, as we talked about earlier, trying to make the roster.
No, this is look, don't even think that this is not important to these guys whoever's playing. This is very important to them, because I've seen careers made in fourth preseason games, and I'm not talking about all of a sudden explode on the scene. I'm talking about get a chance to get on the field and cover a kick
right.
in your first preseason game. I mean, we had a little linebacker, you know, Mickey, you're probably one that will know this. The kid's name was Ron McKinnon from North Alabama. When they run about 70 games in a row or whatever they want, you know, he was about as tall, he could fit under this table. and he went down on a kickoff, and I had Seth Joyner and Jameer Miller and Eric Hill, and I mean, I had some real dogs back there. And this kid laid somebody out on a kickoff, and you know, we finally, and we kept him. I mean, I signed him for $1,000. Wow. He ended up being the starting middle linebacker there for 13 years.
Wow.
And so, you know, I mean, we had one here, you know, that we let go, and we really wanted to keep him. When I was still coaching here, you guys will remember the name, Jarrell Freeman.
Sure.
That played at Mary Harden Baylor. And all of a sudden, you know, his coach, Pete Fredenberg, had called me Coach Mac. He played at Mary Harden Baylor. Okay.
D3, not, they were in the Stag Bowl last year.
Who is she? I've never heard of her.
I love it, Don. Played at Mary Harden Baylor. And so Pete Fredenberg called me and said, Coach Mack, I'm telling you, this kid can play ball. And he could. He just wasn't quite there. Went to Canada, then came back, had a nice career with the Colts, with the Bears. So some of these guys, all they need is to do something that someone will stand up for them and say, in this final personnel meeting, we need to give them a chance or put them on the practice squad, because as long as you're inside the gates,
right,
you got a chance. As long as you're inside the gates, the distance between being outside the gate and inside the gate in a National Football League team, I mean, it can't be measured.
Isn't that, I mean, we saw flashes from Mariani back in the day in the preseason games, right?
Well, and Mariani was a special case because, you know, right, Fish and I had watched he and Brandon play at Montana when they won about
a million. So you knew what you were
They
getting.
Won about a million games too, you know, mm-hmm. And Mark Mariani and a kid named Chase Reynolds were their whole offense. I mean, Mark Mariani was, I mean, he was uncoverable up there, and we knew he could return. And then you guys have all heard the story, I know, about how we drafted him, when Brandon Fisher called him and Mariani thought he was jacking with him, and he was on the speakerphone to all of us listening
to him. The
whole
organism.
You know,
yeah.
All of us listening to him like a sailor going on leave. You know, he was cussing so bad. He was so mad. And then we said, hey, Mark, and then Fish got on the line, and Mariani, I think, about passed out. But anyway.
That's great.
It worked out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out. But all you need is a chance. And as I said, just get yourself inside the gate and get a seat in the meeting room, and you never know what can happen.
Coach Mac.
That's it.
Every Wednesday, 3:30.
Good stuff.
Are we done?
We are.
It goes by fast, doesn't it? It goes fast.
I wish my compound interest at the bank worked this fast.
Coach McGinnis.
In great shape.
Brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Titans closing out the preseason against Minnesota on 104.5 The Zone. Mike Heath, Dave McGinnis, Jonathan Hutton on the sideline. They have the call. Titans Vikings on Titans Radio. Your home for the Titans. 104.5 The Zone.